All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. I'm talking to you from Queens in the borough of Queens, New York City on the 22nd day of December, 2020. And I do want to take advantage of this day to wish all of my friends of various faiths and non-faiths, whatever, a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a happier New Year than the very eventful 2020 was. It's been a very difficult year, but we're going to do our best to get through the end of it and hopefully look for better times in 2021. And I want to thank all of you for listening to this show and make this show one of the more popular shows in Voice America Business Channel. Also, to remind you that I published a newsletter called Mining Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. Go to miningstocks.com to sign up for that. And it is a good time, for sure, to be invested in the exploration sector, the gold and silver exploration sector. Some very, very exciting things happening, and I'll tell you about one of them in just a moment. Also, like to encourage you to consider signing up for Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? Really doing extremely well with some biotech stocks, a couple of which I'm starting to follow myself. Very interesting stories. Chen has done excellent, has done really, really well in that sector, and he passes that on to his subscribers at ChenPix.com. Go to ChenPix.com. What is Chen buying? What is Chen selling? And Michael Oliver is with us today. We're really pleased about that. It's OliverMSA.com to sign up for his letter, the best technical letter that I've ever read and ever subscribe to. It's really great. It's very, very helpful, at least for me as a person who isn't a real short-term trader. I do make trades from time to time, and I'm not just strictly a buy-and-hold guy, but to know which side of the market is going up and which side is going down over the longer run is very, very helpful. And Michael is just the best I've ever seen in helping in that regard. Want to thank our sponsors, because without them, there would be no show. Today's sponsors, Benchmark Metals, NV Gold, Cassiar Gold Corp, Hannon Metals, Irving Resources, Noble Resources, Sitka Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, and SK Mining Corp. And speaking of SK Mining, the stock has exploded upwards earlier this morning, up by 44% today on some fantastic drill results from its SK project, the VMS deposit in British Columbia that Quentin Henning told us about a few weeks back. And that is one you're going to want to keep your eyes on, I think. It's down a little bit from its highs now as the gold price has backed off and the equity markets, at least the precious metals markets, have backed off a bit from their highs earlier this morning. But this is a real deal. I think that you're going to see SK Mining be a name that you hear a lot more about on this show going forward. Also performing well today is Sitka Gold, which has completed its drill projects in the Yukon, and Corwin Coe will be with me in the second segment of today's show to give us an update not only on that company's Yukon project, but also on projects in Arizona and Nevada that the company is working on and is drilling this year and will be into next year, presumably. Well, after President Nixon closed the gold window in 1971, the U.S. dollar retained its value despite massive expenditures undertaken by the U.S. to expand its empire. The dollar retained its value through diplomatic arrangements with Saudi Arabia to force nations around the world to pay for oil in dollars. So to enforce that, the U.S. military was used in countries like Iraq and Libya It has seemed since that fateful August 15th, 1971 date when Richard Nixon took gold away from the dollar that we have created an infinite number of dollars, and it seems as though that could go on forever. But Lynn Alden, who will be with me in the second half of today's show, says that built into the petrodollar system is a self-decaying mechanism that is now suggesting the dollar's days may be numbered. And it is certainly very interesting to note that last week's main guest, Alistair MacLeod, has written an extremely important essay titled "The Next Dollar Problem Has Just Arrived." The next dollar problem has just arrived, and I would suggest that that you definitely want to read that article. You can quickly go and find the link to that article by going to miningstocks.com. Alistair spells out the market mechanics that is showing that the number of dollars now being created is starting to explode dramatically higher, suggesting the start of a hyperinflation of the currency may now be getting underway. In fact, he points out that M1 has grown 14%, not 14% per annum, 14% over a two-week period the last 2 weeks. So this is something really, I think, of concern. And you should keep an eye on. A hyperinflated currency is by no means anything to celebrate. I don't care how high gold goes. The chaos that will surround anything like a hyperinflation is not something anybody in their right mind would hope for. But it's better to be aware of it before anything else, before everyone else catches on. Because I'm telling you, when the masses start to figure this out, it's going to be like trying to force Niagara Falls through a garden hose. It's just you want to be there before the masses figure it out. I'm not sure that Lynn Alden views the dollar in such dramatic terms as Alistair does right now, but we'll ask her about that, certainly. But certainly we will talk to her about that and many other issues. And as I mentioned, Corwin Cole will be with me right after the first commercial break. But right now I'm really happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me once again. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay.
You know, it's really good to hear your voice every other week and to hear where you think things are going. And I know that one of the things that I've been watching pretty carefully, in part because Lynn Alden has talked to us about it, and, Alistair MacLeod is suggesting that Bitcoin's recent dramatic rise has got to have something to do with this, with a growing understanding, perhaps among millennials, that the dollar's days are numbered, or at least the dollar is going to just expand infinitely, almost, to try to finance all the stuff the government tries to finance. And so, I bought some Bitcoin, and you know, it's just crazy to watch it. I mean, CBGT is the trust that holds it. And it's very exciting, but I'd like to hear what you have to say, because I know you were very timely on it. I remember you put out a piece that was very timely, and people who bought it then have done very well. But what are your thoughts on Bitcoin, and then maybe just talk to us about gold and the dollar and anything else that might you think is important?
Well, Bitcoin is sort of philosophically and economically an interesting phenomenon because, I mean, it is a competitor to statist currencies. And that could be its problem. That's its virtue, but it also could be its problem. MSA has called the major turns in Bitcoin very well. We called the top when it came out, started trading. We said it would collapse to 5,000. At that time, it was 20,000. In fact, it went to 3,200. Then when it came up out of the hole at about just above 5,000, we went long-term bullish again. And we've had some secondary buy signals on the way up, and now it's back to the highs and slightly new highs. Fine. It doesn't have a lot of history. So people who say, it's doing better than gold. Well, it depends on what point in time you want to measure. If you go back to when Bitcoin came on the board in December 2017 on the CME as a futures contract, it's gained some ground. Okay. Uh-huh. But it came back to where it was, and now it's gotten above it. Gold's had an enormous percent move from that same point in time in late 2017. So it depends on when you want to measure. You know, day-to-day is not good. There's simply not enough history to make a macro-technical assumption about Bitcoin going to be stronger than gold. My concern, and there are others in the gold, pro-gold arena, I don't want to speak for them, but Fleckenstein, for example, and there's others who have some skepticism about the ultimate viability of Bitcoin. There's one reason that I'm concerned about, and that is if, in fact, cryptocurrencies do rise in terms of the percent usage of cryptocurrencies globally by the public, by industry, etc., they become a competitor to central bank-issued paper. And therefore, if they become a competitor of gravitas, you know, enough percentage, then central bank monetary and interest rate policies become less and less important because their currencies aren't as important to the world and to the trading community. And so, in effect, you're attacking the viability of government currencies. And at some point, my suspicion is the statists will not put up with it. If it ever becomes a threat on a percentage basis to their policy, the wave effects of their policy, they'll do a Roosevelt on it, meaning ban it, turn your gold in, okay? And I, because of the nature of cryptocurrencies, I think they can access it and actually take steps to curtail it. I defy them to ever attempt to do that to gold again. I don't think it would. That's not an option that the public would put up with. But the cryptocurrencies, because they are focused and you know they're on the net and so forth, and I think probably the governments would have a way of regulating or sidelining the cryptocurrencies. I don't. This is speculation on my part, but I can see that cryptocurrencies could be a threat to government monetary policy. And, no, and they therefore.
They may want to use them themselves. They may want to use them themselves.
Yeah, and they may want to co-opt it. Okay, you get a U.S. cryptocurrency. In fact, the Fed has been mentioning this.
Yeah.
So,
I guess.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I guess one of the objections to what you're saying, I hear from some of the younger folks, is they don't think the government can crack down. But I don't know. I mean, governments can do almost anything they want. They certainly have the ability, I would think, to crack down. But, you know, I don't know.
It's something to think about, whereas I don't think this day and age you can do a Roosevelt on the gold market.
Why is that, Michael? Because it seems to me, I mean, what percentage of the American public own gold? I don't know. It doesn't strike me as though it's a large
percent. It's a growing percent. Let me put it that way. I think it's a growing percent, including people who aren't even gold people.
Yeah,
I bet George Soros owns a ton of gold. Okay?
Oh, for sure. But George Soros may be running the government as far as we know. So he may say, I want your gold too.
anyway, I feel more secure with gold and silver. In fact, I think silver is going to be the leader over the next couple of years. And our view of gold is that you've probably now seen the corrective low, the pullback low. And in the case of silver, you've seen the bottom end of the range low because it really – it had multiple sell-offs in silver, but they all went to the same place and stopped. They never continued down. And I think that the silver action last week and gold have set the stage now for the balance of power to shift the other way back to the upside, meaning the intermediate correction has done its thing, and the next step is to emerge from this clump of ink and put on the next leg. And unlike prior bull markets in gold that lasted, 5 and 10 years, I think that due to other macroeconomic and technical factors in other markets like the dollar, stock markets, bond markets, that gold could very well approach the underside of $10,000 an ounce in a year and a half.
Wow. So
and
I guess
silver,
maybe
you can speculate where silver might be, but it could be hundreds of dollars an ounce. I think that the lid is going to come off big time. We're not going to have a regular bull market.
Well, then you might be more in Alistair McLeod's camp, seeing the wheels coming off this wagon fairly rapidly and fairly soon.
Yeah.
I hope and pray that's not the case, but it is what it is, and we want to be ready for it as much as possible. In 30 seconds, Michael, can you just give me an idea? You put out something pretty bullish on oil, I think, this week.
Well, oil is we're not all that bullish. We're bullish on oil. We're bullish on natural. We're bullish on almost all commodities now. They've all turned corners. So is the Bloomberg Commodity Index. What we really like in the energy sector are some of the oil sector ETFs, oil services, oil gas exploration ETFs, as in terms of what we think their percent gain could be over a short-term period of time. So as oil is turned up now into positive trend, it's not going to gain the kind of percentages that these extremely beat-up oil sectors have suffered. I mean, you've taken sectors to like 5% of their value compared to 5 years ago, that kind of thing. They've like crashed them off the page. It's like, oh, we don't need oil services anymore. Well,
yeah.
the vacuum effect alone, technically speaking, could drive some of these ETFs up, 100, 200%. And I hate to tell you what that would do to some call options.
If you own them, you don't hate it.
We are excited about oil, but primarily oil sector ETFs, meaning the companies.
Okay. Very good. Very good point. All right, Michael, we'll have to leave it go at that. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your ideas with us. Always a pleasure to have you, and we'll look forward to talking to you in another couple of weeks.
Thank you, Jay.
All righty. Folks, we do have to go to break, but Corwin Coe will be with me. He is the CEO of Sitka Gold Corp, and so we'll be right back with Corwin to talk about three of his projects, actually four, I think it is, in Canada and the United States that are doing very well. So we'll be right back with Corwin Coe.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Benchmark Metals is an advanced gold-silver exploration company that is rapidly advancing its Canadian gold-silver project to a production decision. Benchmark is nearing completion of its largest program to date, with up to 100,000 meters of resource expansion and definition drilling in 2020. The multi-million ounce potential project is expected to have a new mineral resource estimate and PEA study completed in 2021. The company is backed by the Metals Group management team and believes this aggressive program will be complemented by one of the strongest commodity bull markets in decades. Visit BenchmarkMetals.com and subscribe to follow their success.
Cassiar Gold Corp. trades on the OTCQB under the symbol CGLCF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GLDC. Its flagship asset, the Cassiar Gold Project, is a large advanced stage road-accessible gold property with an NI 43-101 compliant resource estimate of 1 million ounces at 1.43 grams per ton gold at the Taurus near-surface bulk tonnage gold deposit, and 15 kilometers of high-grade gold prospects. The property hosts several past-producing high-grade gold mines and is in search for the next multi-million-ounce gold camp in British Columbia.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.